Anthony, our guest this morning is going to be Mr. Conrad O'Brien, and we're going to be talking about democracy in Jamaica. Is democracy hypocrisy? If you look at government in Jamaica and how they deal with situations like local government election, Anthony, what's really taking place? Are they testing the democracy of the country? I know you have a few words there to say about Mr. Conrad O'Brien.
Yes, Mr. Conrad Robert O'Brien, he's actually the host of Straight Up on News Talk 93 FM in Jamaica, and he's also a former host of the program State of Jamaica, which airs on Hot 102 FM, and he's a trained financial advisor and communication specialist who prides himself on speaking truth to power. So we welcome Mr. O'Brien to Grooving Radio this Saturday morning.
Well, Anthony Turner, thank you so much. Because I only have one line, I'm going to have to call Mr. O'Brien on this line. So we'll talk next week Saturday, sir, when I'm back in the tri-state area. You take care.
All right, you take care, man. Have a good Saturday.
One love, Anthony Turner. My guest has arrived now, ladies and gentlemen. He is a communication specialist. He is the host of Straight Up Talk down there in Jamaica, speaking truth to power, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Conrad R. O'Brien has now joined us for Mic Check this Saturday morning. Democracy in Jamaica. Is democracy hypocrisy in Jamaica? What's really going on in Jamaica? Are they testing democracy at the cost of the Jamaican people? And when I say they, I'm talking about both sides of government in Jamaica. Are they testing democracy? Good morning, Mr. Conrad O'Brien. How are you?
Hi, Ross Clem, my brother and friend. How are you doing? It's a pleasure joining you.
Yes, sir.
Again, another Saturday morning. And, of course, it's quite a beautiful day right here in Jamaica. Of course, you know, we boast one of the best climate across the world, and our country quite picturesque indeed,
I don't get you Jamaicans, you know, every time you come on radio and you broadcast here in the tri-state area, it's this beautiful, bright, sunny Jamaica, because we have a little snow, Conrad, huh? A little snow. But anyway, my brother, it's always good to have you on. Last week...
And you know what is good? Mm-hmm. What is good? Mm-hmm. You have an open... You and, of course, the tourists. You're a yard man.
Yes, indeed.
The tourists, everybody is listening. There's an open invitation to come and enjoy the rocket.
Yes, indeed. Well, Conrad, the big news coming out of Jamaica last week was about the postponement or the pushback of local government election. Democracy being tested, huh? What's going on? Put it in perspective for our listeners, Conrad.
Well, certainly it's the postponement of the local government election. And indeed, Ross Clem, I must say that, let me put it in perspective, as you said. The truth is that our convention here in Jamaica is that we have our democracy, which kind of mirrors the Westminster democracy in the UK in name. And I'm saying in name, because in practice, it's somewhat kind of bastardized. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the truth is that we have the parliamentary election, which is due every 5 years. However, the prime minister is at liberty to go to the polls anytime within that five-year period. I think once 2 years have elapsed within an administration. Mm-hmm. And of course, there is an addendum that a constitution gives that based on any unforeseen thing, any things like a major disaster and so on, then you have about a 3 to 6 months time frame that you could extend over that 5 years jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. On the local government side, the convention is that we normally have a local government supposed to be called every 3 years. Mm-hmm. However, both political parties over the years have basically used it to their convenience. So it's a kind of cat and mouse situation where, you know, they will put it off and so on. And of course, they will do the political thing. So they will basically look at when it is advantageous to go to the polls for the local government election, since we're addressing that one, the local government election, at this time. However, what happened in 2016? In 2016, there were three documents. I'll put it no further than documents. I don't want to say bill or whatever, but three documents. So they eked out a joint select parliament, basically decide that they would have local government every 4 years. And while it was not deeply entrenched and so on, but there was that understanding that they will be going to the poll every 4 years. Now, as a result of that, election would have been, local government election would have due in 2020. However, we understand what happened then with the COVID and so on. Although the general election was called, the prime minister, and it was called during the middle of COVID. However, the prime minister used that as an excuse that basically he would not go to the polls at that time. And as a result of that, it had postponed two times thereafter. Then last week, now we get a further postponement because we were supposed to have the local government election no later than the 27th of February. So the question was raised by, you know, noted attorney at law, constitutional lawyer, Dr. Light Barnett and others, you know, that you may face a situation where the constitution could be breached and so on, because the councillors could be sitting in the various municipal corporations illegally, had it not be at something not announced by the 27th or so. Hence, the local government minister took to Parliament and got on his feet and announced a postponement of the local government election up to February of 2024. But here where the rubber really hits the road, Raslem and listeners, based on the flimsy excuses that were preferred by the government. One, the government talk about the fiscal space that we have, while they boast that they collect in excess of $80 billion with a B, in excess of taxes that over what they have budgeted for. Therefore, to me, it's a no-brainer that you could really use $1.3 billion out of that to ensure that the democracy of the country is observed at the local level. Because when you look into the pot, Ross Glenn, a number of things are amiss. First thing to begin with, there are many divisions at this time that are without a representative because of death, illness, people migrated, or people have been elevated to central government. Because you have some persons who are councillors, for example, Mr. Omar Davis, down in St. James, he was a councillor. He has elevated to central government. You have Hugh Graham on the opposition bench. He was a councillor down there over there in St. Catherine. He has also been elevated to central government. And I could go on and on to cite other examples. So as a result of that, the people are not getting proper local representative on the ground. Because how that works, Ross Clem, is that once a seat becomes vacant, then the mayor, of the respective municipal council take charge of that division. So can you imagine, a mayor has to be doing his work. He has his, in the main, he has his own division to run and so on, and have chairmanship of the entire municipal corporation. So his time would very much be limited and so on. So the people are suffering of lack of representation.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the reasons, some of the reasons that the government prefer that, you know, they would not be able to have it. They also use this excuse of Portmore becoming the 15th parish.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it's something that you must also examine, Raspin, because I had a JLP point man and local government, Mr. Dr. Andrew Wheatley, on my program on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I put the question to him. You know, we were seeing, you know, what if they should not get all of these settled in Portmore, for Portmore to become the 15th parish?
Mm-hmm.
Would we have another postponement of the election? Yes, go ahead.
Finish up.
Yes. And you know, he baffled somewhat. I also asked him, why are we diminishing the opportunity for persons to select their mayor,
mm-hmm,
by basically taking away the direct election of mayor from the Portmore people? Because that is one of the things that will happen if they are supposed to go with the 15th parish for Portmore.
Right.
I also said to him, why not look at entrenching the mayoral direct election of mayor for the entire island, so we would be broadening the democracy, so we'll affording people more democracy rather than basically taking away democracy from the people.
Wow. Democracy has been tested in Jamaica over and over again. My special guest this Saturday morning is communication specialist and host of Straight Up Talk, Speaking True to Power, Mr. Conrad O'Brien. Ladies and gentlemen, local government election in Jamaica postponed again. Well, here's the thing, though. This is not the first time. It's not the second time. It's not the third time. And whether it's the JLP or the PNP in power, both governments have done this. But here's what I want to ask. And this is a burning question when it comes to elections in Jamaica. You mentioned parliamentarian election, and this is where Jamaica chooses its prime minister. No,
yes.
That election, based on the Westminster system, it's every 5 years. Over the last couple of years in Jamaica, and I think we can go back to the 80s, these elections are generally called just around 4 years. Not five, mm-hmm, just around, mm-hmm, 4 years. The big question that people are now asking, why is it that parliamentarian election, as a matter of fact, why is it elections in Jamaica does not have set dates? Just like here in North America, just like here in the United States of America, we know that every 4 years there is a presidential election, and it's going to take place in November on a particular Thursday or a Tuesday in November. We know every 2 years there is congressional elections, and it's going to take place on a particular date, and those dates are set. Why is it now in Jamaica, after 60 years of nationhood that they call independence, why is it we don't have set election dates, Mr. O'Brien? Why not?
Excellent question there, Ross Clem. And I just want to just back up a bit. We mentioned about the successive administration,
mm-hmm,
treating local government like a second cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it was due every 3 years and so on, mm-hmm, sometimes even I think at one point we went as much as 8 years,
wow,
before we had a local government election. However, the difference this time around is that there were a pact in place, or they're supposed to be a pact in place, mm-hmm. that they would definitely have the election every 4 years this time around. And this Jamaica Labour Party administration, led by Andrew Michael Brogard Holness, basically have been given the opportunity to show his mettle and to say, listen, I'm drawing a line in the sand that we're going to change the ball game and uphold the democracy. As Julian Robinson, the spokesperson and finance mm-hmm. for the opposition, pointed out so ably in the House of Parliament, mm-hmm. and indeed say it is a shame. Mm-hmm. It's a shame. And he also rubbished the argument about not having the money to call the local government election, because as I said before, yeah. that they collected in excess of $80 billion that weren't budgeted for.
Mm-hmm. And it's to my understanding that a local government election in Jamaica, its cost is less than $2 billion Jamaican dollars. Am I correct there?
Absolutely. Well, the figure that we have, it would cost $1.3 billion.
Okay.
If you subtract $1.3 billion from $80 billion, Rustin, my maths is not good, but I think we'd have a whole heap left.
It's simple arithmetic. Simply arithmetic. A lot of money would be left over in the kitty there. We're talking to Mr. Conrad O'Brien, ladies and gentlemen. Where is the power, though, Conrad? Because
let's not leave it there, Ross. Mm-hmm. Ross Glenn. Mm-hmm. Let's basically give our listeners a little more information, because you asked that question about why not mm-hmm. basically have set election date. Mm-hmm. And the talk program in Jamaica here, repeated every day. The people are calling, say, let's have set election date. As a matter of fact, that's another major breach mm-hmm. by Prime Minister Holness, because when he was campaigning, mm-hmm. he said in his first 100 days in office, he would bring a legislation to Parliament mm-hmm. to basically have a set date for election in Jamaica. He would also put term limit in there, and he has breached that, and as a result of that, people are questioning the Prime Minister's commitment mm-hmm. to his word, and can you take it to the bank? That is one of the questions that are being put out there by people who are just straight thinkers and not partisan people, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, we have the what that is being discussed mm-hmm. at the moment. We are going into moving into a republic,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We're moving to a republic, so we're getting away from the monarch.
Mm-hmm.
However, my own view, Ross Glenn, is that I would prefer to see an executive-style president, similar to what you have in the United States of America.
Indeed.
Rather than what we call a titular head.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So we would have a local person, a local governor general, but certainly it's pretty much same as we're seeing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the prime minister will still rule supreme and so on. So if you have an executive president, then it's a two ballot. So we'll vote for the president, and indeed we will also vote for the member of parliament.
Indeed.
As a result of that, members of parliament now would be able to, you know, vote their conscience, because they would not be at the base of the prime minister as to who would be given a cabinet position, etc., etc. So you would have a more democratic system. However, that seems not to be found in favor, Ruskin. The PNP had basically supported, they were in favor of the executive style government, but the Jamaica Labour Party, they weren't did not settle for that. However, to to basically find a common ground. The PNP has basically moved away from their position and said, okay, then they will support a non-executive president in order to, you know, facilitate moving away from the monarch.
The Westminster system.
The Westminster of England. Well,
Yeah, man. Conrad, hold your thoughts. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a 3-minute break. And when we come back, we're going to pick up right here because it was last March and now we're in the month of March. It was last March when Prince William came to Jamaica and the Prime Minister gave him a message to give to his grandmother, the Queen, the late Queen, that Jamaica is moving on. Jamaica is moving on. There is a new ministry in Jamaica, Legal and Constitutional, the Ministry of Legal and Constitutional Affairs. It's 1 year later, and we have yet to hear or see any real movement from that ministry. Any real movement. But in all fairness to the current administration, P.J. Patterson served over 15 years as Prime Minister in Jamaica. And I'm wondering, even under the PJ administration, why wasn't election date set permanently? Huh? When we come back, we will dig into that to wrap up our presentation this Saturday morning. This is Groovin' Radio.
Powerful, it's informative, it's educational with lots of thought-provoking conversations. Yes, it's Groovin' Radio, Saturday morning 9 to 11:30 and Sunday evening 6 to 8, right here on 93.5 WVIP, hosted by Ross Klemm. Join the Groovin' Radio experience and stay one step ahead.
Groovin', jamming to the radio. Yo, this is Jack Critique singing tune to Groovin' Radio. You got it? Groovin' Radio on the mic check with your host, Ras Klemm. Remember, I told you.
Thank you very much, my very, very good friend, Mr. Jack Radix, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us up for the final 25 minutes of our Groovin' Radio's presentation this Saturday morning, the first Saturday in the month of March. It's International Women's Month, and talk about thought-provoking conversation. This is one of those thought-provoking conversations we're having here on Groovin' Radio this Saturday morning. Democracy been tested in Jamaica. My very, very special guest, no stranger, ladies and gentlemen, my brother from Jamaica. He is a communication specialist and he speaks truth to power. He is the host of Straight Up Talk on in Jamaica, Mr. Conrad O'Brien. Welcome back, Conrad.
Indeed, thanks for having me again on this Saturday morning, Ross Klemm. Always a pleasure, as usual. Ross Klemm, you know, while talking to you, I am a little bit challenged here. I'm not wearing my glasses, but so I'm not going to be reading, but I'll just basically give you something here because I pulled up the Local Government Act 2016 and it's precisely saying that, you know, for example, by election, whenever a division becomes vacant, the election should be held within 6 months. And what we're seeing here, Ross Klemm, that again is another breach that is as we speak. For example, in the Greater Portmore Division, that Councillor McCormack died almost 20 months ago. There has been no by-election in that area, and now we could go on and on. Quite a few other divisions have become vacant, and we have not seen any by-election. So I am trying to just cement the point as to how local government has been bastardized and really and truly treated like a second cousin.
But you know, and I've always said this here, Conrad, that every election have consequences. every single election of consequences. And local government election in Jamaica is certainly connected to parliamentarian election in Jamaica. And the people, the citizens of the country, who votes for every single person in Jamaica to be in office, those people have power to vote you in or either not vote for you. And this goes for both parties in Jamaica. And I say that about our Democratic Party and our Republican Party too here, that people have power. Where is the power of the people now? Because it seems as if the people of Jamaica are now powerless. What's really happening?
That's a big question, Rosslyn, because, you know, and sometimes you speak, you know, and you have to be an edge, because when you talk truth to power, you know, and doesn't matter who the guy is, people from time to time will accuse you of being partisan. However, what we saw with a Portia Simpson Miller, Rosslyn, journalists, people in our industry, the Fourth Estate, they will be all over the place pushing a microphone in Mrs. Simpson Miller's face. The Prime Minister, I dare say, is not getting that same treatment from the Fourth Estate that's supposed to hold government accountable and to ensure that the society is recalibrated and we maintain decency in the society. Also, I dare say that civil society has been silent. The middle class in Jamaica seems as if they have basically abdicated their responsibilities. Because as you know, Rasklem, that a society strives in a big way when your middle class is active and put pressure on the government. You live in the United States and you see what happened there. When the people decide to flex their muscle and to put pressure. And we're not talking about going out there and burning tire and basically causing mayhem and so on. But the people of Jamaica have a responsibility to say, no, not so. We are going to demand good governance. And I think this time around, with this local government postponement, and what people are saying, that what is happening? Are we seeing our democracy trampled and so on? Because, you know, there's just no good reason to postpone the local government election at this time, other than clear politics. I share this with your viewers, listeners, Rosslyn. What you have is clear politics. And we understand that politicians do politics. However, this time around, what you're seeing with the Portmore becoming the 15th parish, what will happen when Portmore is separated from the greater St. Catherine? The chance of the Jamaica Labour Party capture the municipal of the greater St. Catherine, that is a great possibility. Because as it is now, the entire St. Catherine, to include Portmore, all the council seats are counted in one. So whoever gets the majority from the two areas, Portmore and the greater St. Catherine, they will basically form the mayor of Spanish Town, while the people of Portmore vote for their mayor direct. So that's pretty much where the rubber really hits the road. It's enshrined in politics. And it's a shame, really.
Yeah, it is. But again, you know, I want to be fair. I want to be fair to the parties in Jamaica, because at the end of the day, the reason why we are at this point, it is because of the Westminster system that is in Jamaica that have given the ruling government, whether it's the PNP in power or the JLP in power, the Westminster system has given any ruling government in Jamaica the ultimate power over almost every single move the country can make. And on that note, we're going to leave the local government election there. I want to wrap up on this. Before we took the break, I mentioned the Prime Minister said last year, just around this time, that we're moving on. But I don't want my listeners to say Rasklem said, the Prime Minister said he's moving on. This is what the Prime Minister had to say to Prince Andrew when he came to Jamaica.
Yes.
Jamaica is very free and liberal. But Jamaica is, as you would see, a country that is very proud of our history, very proud of what we have achieved. And we're moving on. And we intend to attain in short order with our people and fulfill our true ambitions and destiny as an independent, developed, prosperous country.
That was Prime Minister Andrew Holness last year telling the young prince that Jamaica is moving on. Moving on to what, though? Moving on...
Indeed, Rasklem. And you know what is sad about it?
Mm-hmm.
The England that we have basically adopted this system from,
mm-hmm.
they have basically gotten more progressive within recent time. Because remember that now there is a set date for election in Great Britain.
Indeed.
And we still leave that opening so our Prime Minister mm-hmm. can basically tar with the system and go to the poll when he or she believes that they have an advantage. And it's not fair to the Jamaican people. But as they talk about moving on,
mm-hmm.
it's something that we must examine. Because with the legal and constitutional affair ministry that was created,
mm-hmm.
that is said to basically look at an overhauling of the constitution and how we move away from the manor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the opposition basically pushing that what they want is a full separation from the monarch, and as they said, to basically move away the final vestiges from the monarch. So they're saying, do it in one full swoop.
Indeed.
While we are at it, to move away and become a republic. What we should also do is basically go to take or move away from the Privy Council.
Indeed.
And accept the Caribbean courts in its full in its full appellate form,
mm-hmm.
as our final court of appeal. And there is a sticking point there, because the government of the day seems as if they are hell-bent and holding on to the Privy Council. So they last week Sunday,
mm-hmm.
they had a reconvening of what is called the Vale Royal Talk.
Yeah.
Now, the Vale Royal Talk is a joint meeting with opposition and government, where they meet at Vale Royal and they thrash out various issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mark Golden was saying that he wants some more meat on the bone, some understanding as to where they're heading with this new constitutional reform and so on, what is in it before he named any opposition member to the committee. Mm. Suffice it to say that since that meeting, we saw where Anthony Hilton, MP Anthony Hilton, who is an attorney at law, and Donald Scott Motley, who is a senator and an attorney at law as well. We saw where the opposition leader, Mark Golden, himself an attorney, he named those two persons to the committee. So we have not heard any session out of that. But what we heard from Marlene Malahoe-Fort, the new constitutional minister,
mm-hmm.
we are seeing her where she's doing her face is being used to promote now the new where they are going with this moving away from the monarch and the new constitutional regime. So when you look at the television doing prime time news in the evening and so, there are a lot of paid advertisement coming through, and she is basically vowing that they will be having wide consultation and so on and so forth. And indeed, the opposition is saying that we need to have public education and wide consultation. So we are looking at that. Also, Rustem, you mentioned about PJ Patterson, 10 years prime minister, 15 years,
and 15 plus.
He did not get it done. And, you know, it's really troubling, because when you look back, this is something that we have been talking about from the 70s.
Indeed.
With Michael Manley,
yes.
Eddie Sciaga in the 80s, when PJ Patterson, Portia. Remember when Portia said, well, we probably need our own queen and so on, and that kind of thing. So both parties have their fair share of blame on it. Let's see. If we will get it right now, since we now have a consensus, because as I said earlier, that one of the sticking points was that both parties were pushing either way. The PNP wanted executive president, the JLP wanted a non-executive president, but there now seems to basically at one where the PNP is now saying that, listen, for us to get some consensus and to move away from the monarch, we will support a non-executive president.
All right, before you go, Conrad, I must say kudos to Professor Rosalie Hamilton and her team over there at the Advocate Network, because one of the things that Professor Hamilton and I always talk about is public education when it comes to Jamaica moving on and going a republic. And you mentioned the fact that this conversation about Jamaica going a republic has been an ongoing conversation. I was a little boy when former Prime Minister Michael Joshua Manley said that Jamaica would have become a republic before 1980. It never happened. He lost the election in 1980 to Edward George Philip Sciaga. But then in 1989, Michael Manley regained the Prime Ministership over Jamaica. It never happened. It was passed on to PJ Patterson, who served roughly about 16 years as Prime Minister. It never happened. It got passed on to Prime Minister Bruce Golden. It never happened. No, let's see. It never happened under the Portia Simpson.
Our first female Prime Minister.
Yes.
Mama Peace.
It never happened under her administration. So let's see. And you know, the folks, the people of Jamaica, the citizens of Jamaica, who love Jamaica so dearly, it is time we treat those people with respect. It seems as if it doesn't matter who is at Vale Royal, Jamaica House, who leads the parliament. It seems as if we take the folks of Jamaica for granted. It is time that governments in Jamaica fully understand that these citizens have a right. These citizens have a right. So it's time we fess up. And we come clean to everything.
Absolutely, Ross Clem. Let me just say before we go, because it's a biggie that we have to keep our eyes on. Two things I want to mention before we go by way of information.
Real quick.
The JUTC, we understand that they are stated to rock up at 11 billion dollars this year, and the people of Jamaica certainly not getting value for money. Any day of the week while you traverse across the KMTR, that's the Kingston and Metropolitan area, at least 4, 5, 6 buses are broken down. Also, we are looking as to what will happen there, you know, going forward. We also want to remind the listeners that we continue to keep our eyes on the SSL matter.
Indeed.
We hear some concerns about whether or not Miss Jean Panton is getting the requisite treatment that she deserves in custody.
Indeed.
And also we are hearing that she has a great interest in speaking with the FBI.
That's what we're hearing earlier this week. Ladies and gentlemen, my very special guest this morning, as we come to the end of another thought-provoking presentation here on Grooving Radio, communication specialist and host of Straight Up on a Straight Up Talk in Jamaica, speaking truth to power, Mr. Conrad O'Brien. It is always a pleasure, my brother, to have you here. The conversation this morning, democracy is being tested once again in Jamaica. Another postponement of the people's rights, a local government election brushed aside by this current administration. Let's keep a watchful eye on all of this, Mr. O'Brien. Thank you so much.
Indeed, all the best. Thanks for having me, Ross Glenn.
As always, sir. We'll talk soon.
Always a pleasure.
One love, one love. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of Mic Check. It's not the end of our presentation yet because I still have my public responsibility, my community responsibility to do, and I'm going to go straight in it as we speak right now. It is all about our non-profit corner, so I welcome you, ladies and gentlemen, to the Charity Corner. The American Friends of Jamaica, they're getting ready for their Jamaica Charity Gala. It's going to take place on next week, Saturday. Yes, Saturday, March the 11th. They're going to be honoring Honorable Douglas O'Rain, Commander of Distinction, the man who once led Grace Kennedy, and the Honorable Shelley-Ann Fraser Price, the Order of Jamaica. She's no stranger to the world, ladies and gentlemen. Please call and support. Please call Miss Carone Chung at 212-265-2550. That's 212-265-2550. The Manchester High School Alumni Association, the Global Alumni Network, they're going to be presenting their homecoming fundraising gala Saturday, March 25th. In Jamaica. Ladies and gentlemen, for more information, use this WhatsApp number, 876-278-4470. 876-278-4470. The Meadowbrook High School Alumni Association, their New York chapter, they're getting you ready for their 28th annual dinner dance and honoring ceremony. This takes place at the Garden City Tennis Center, Garden City Tennis Club, on Saturday, the 15th of April. Please call Nadine at 874-372-9853. That is 874-372-9853. Team Jamaica Bickle, Labor of Love Luncheon, April 16th, Sunday, April 16th. For more information, please call 718-523-2861. That's 718-253-2861. Last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, and until I get back in studio next week, the American Foundation for the University of the West Indies, their 26th annual Legacy Gala takes place on Thursday, April 20th. Please call Miss Anne-Marie Grant at 212-759-9345. That's 212-759-9345. Once again, you're listening to Groovin' Radio. My name is Ras Clem. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Irie Jam Radio is celebrating 30 years. 30 years is a very long time for anyone, for any production company, to do radio here. It's very expensive to do the kind of radio that we do. So as Irie Jam Radio celebrate 30 years on radio, let's celebrate with them, ladies and gentlemen. And let's say congratulations to the entire team over there at Irie Jam on their 30th anniversary. But I want to send a big shout out to an original Irie Jam member. Wida, wherever you are, girl, stand tall. You were there when Irie Jam started. And anytime you hear the name Amba, Amba represent Wida over there at Irie Jam. So to the team at Irie Jam Radio, congratulations, guys. Happy 30th anniversary. We all should celebrate with you on your 30th anniversary this year. So ladies and gentlemen, let Groovin' Radio be the first to say congratulations to the team over there at Irie Jam, celebrating 30 years. Now, Groovin' Radio is obligated and committed to this community. We are so obligated that wherever I go, Groovin' Radio goes with me. I am nowhere close to the New York City Tri-State area this Saturday morning, but I was able to pull this program together so you could continue to listen to the great information that we share here on Groovin' Radio. Waiting on the other side of the 11:30 hour, it is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Team Carl B and Sister Debo. Good morning, Debo. Irie Jam comes in at 1, Link Up at 6, and Sound Chat at 8 p.m. tonight. Groovin' Radio was executively produced by Clement Hume and Christopher Roberts. Groovin' Radio was hosted by Ras Clem. Contributing to our presentation this morning, musically, ladies and gentlemen, we went straight inside of Augustown, Jamaica, and we got the music of the young and talented, my brother, Mr. Dwayne Stevenson. In our community engagement segment, we went into the Garvey School in the Bronx, where we salute an international woman, the founder of the Garvey School, Miss June O'Connor. They're getting ready for this Friday's event. His and her story, ladies and gentlemen. So we salute Miss June O'Connor and the team over there at the Garvey School. Anthony Turner joined us this morning. We had no news this morning, so we went into Jamaica's parliament, where Lisa Anna addressed some crime situation in Jamaica. Anthony Turner joined us for Entertainment Report, and then he provided the bio for our very special mic check guest this Saturday morning, Mr. Conrad O'Brien, as we look at democracy being tested in Jamaica. Once again, my name is Ras Clem, and this is Grooving Radio. I will see you tomorrow evening, ladies and gentlemen, right here on WVIP 93.5 FM. Peace, love, and blessings. Until tomorrow evening, the Wake Up Radio team is up next.